You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Friday, the final day of podcasts here this week for Locked On Pelicans, and I promise I won't throw any soup at you guys. Got a couple of topics here today. Well, touch on what that joke was about if you haven't heard it already. A couple of topics here for today. We want to look at Etuan Moore, Darius Miller, and Emeka Okafor, their play over the past seven games during the streak, the month of February as well. They've been reliable and steady contributors to this team that is in very good position to make the playoffs and potentially get home court advantage. You need role players. These guys are important. We're going to touch on them. Then let's talk a little bit about attendance, getting fans to buy into this team. I always enjoy this kind of fandom discussion. I find it very interesting. So we'll touch on that as well, as that's been kind of raging around Twitter the past couple of days. And then we'll preview the Mavericks game this upcoming Sunday as the Pelicans get back on the court after having a couple days of rest here in New Orleans. I think they've been off of practice the past 2 days, and they'll probably get back to practice on Saturday before traveling over to Dallas Saturday night for their Sunday game, and then hitting the road next week as well before finally getting back home a week from today, upcoming Friday, as they play the Wizards. So we've got a bunch to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's start looking at the role players and talking about how they've played over this past month during this winning streak and everything kind of in between with them. And let's start with Etuan Moore, who's been, you know, a starter for the Pelicans pretty much all year long. Etuan Moore's been a very steady contributor. You know, he's averaging 12.4 points on the season. He's been shooting pretty well from deep all year long. You're seeing him kind of go back to what you saw in Chicago. He's shooting, let me see here, I just lost it. 42.4% from deep, and he just kind of contributes, and we've seen some big games from him. On the season, he has had 8 games with 20 points or more, including one 30-point game, but he tends to fall into that 10 to 19, that middle kind of the road points per game average, with 30 games in that kind of range. So we know what he is, and in the month of February, he only had one game above 20 points. That was back on the second in a win against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road, where he won, where the Pelicans won by 14, and he had a big night and has taken over. But he's been a very solid contributor in the month of February. His numbers have dipped a little bit. He's at 10.5 points per game in February, but he's still shooting very well from deep, 40.5%, making about 1.4 threes per game during that run. So he's been playing just consistently well, giving you what you need. Right now, with the way that Anthony Davis has been playing and that Drew Holiday has been playing, you don't necessarily need for him to get super hot and go out and do a ton. If he can give you close to 12 to 15 points a game, I think this team will take that every single time. And when you watched him in that game against the Spurs, he kind of found a new and different gear that you haven't exactly seen from him before. He's known as that outside shooter, but he does have a very good floater in mid-range game. And he can break that out when he drives and gets into the lane. We saw that against the San Antonio Spurs. After an 0-for-4 start in the first half, he then put up 17 points by driving and attacking. He took 15 attempts in that game. Only 4 of them were from 3, showing you a different side to him that we haven't quite seen before. And with Anthony Davis getting fouled as much as he has been, I think that's a good side of Etuan Moore to see. This guy's going to be able to get fouled and get to the line and hopefully shoot some more free throws than he has been all season long, which basically is like no more than 2 per game. So seeing that aggressiveness out of him, even when his outside shot isn't falling, is good, because right now Anthony Davis is creating space for everyone on the court. They are terrified of his court gravity, and you don't even leave him when someone drives into the paint, because he can just get a putback. And we're going to talk about offensive rebounds in a moment here. So again, overall, just playing well. I know a lot of people have kind of wondered, has he disappeared? Where has he been? He's there. He's just doing what he does. He's kind of the same type of player he's been all year. Just now that when you have Holiday and Davis playing as well as they are, you don't need him to have that occasional explosion that he's had that's really kind of put him on people's radars more so than he has been all year long. Darius Miller is the other guy who gets kind of mentioned as the Pelicans, you know, role player, guy off the bench, kind of spark court spacer. And Miller, again, has also just been as consistent as Moore once Miller started getting going, which was after a month or so during the season. He's shooting in February, scoring 8.2 points per game. That's a little up from his 8.1 points per game average during the season. Shooting a tad bit better from deep, 44% compared to the 42.4 that he is during the regular season. So, again, just a very solid overall player for what he gives you in the minutes he's playing. And isn't really doing much different. You know, he's still more just relying on his outside shot. You don't see him going in as much. And also just pulled the numbers during the 7-game winning streak. Again, 8.4%, 44.1% from three. It's the same player. He's just doing the same thing. But because you have these huge nights from AD, his usage rate has gone up by about 5 or 6%. It's going to leave, you know, less ball for other guys on the court right now to get. So it looks like their numbers kind of go down. But don't forget, Miller had 19 points against the Lakers right before the All-Star break. He's had double-digit games in there. You know, just because he has a 3, a 6, and a 5-point game at times during the streak doesn't mean he's not valuable. And I think teams have realized you can't leave him open on the perimeter because he will make those shots. That's some of the more important things of it. So for both those guys, I mean, the criticism has been their shot's not gone there. And I think it's just more, evolution of the offense and their role kind of changing a little bit with it. You know, right now, Davis is just scoring and doing whatever he wants over guys, over defenders, that you don't even really worry about court spacing a little bit with him right now. He's been that dominant. But you still need those guys to keep the defense a little bit honest. And that's why you see those guys out there. They're just not getting the kickouts right now because Davis is in another gear and is locked in mentally more so than we've ever seen. Last guy I want to mention here is Emeka Okafor, the starter during this winning streak, and a guy we've really started to like and love kind of the play he brings onto the court. And he does all those kind of the dirty work, the little things that Davis doesn't want to do, that other players don't want to do. But one thing I want to talk about that we haven't really discussed yet, and I don't think is he's getting enough credit for, is the offensive rebounding he's bringing to that starting center role. On the season, he's got an offensive rebounding percentage of 17.1. Only one other guy on the team who's not even on the team anymore had a higher offensive rebounding percentage, and that was Josh Smith with a total of 12 minutes played this year. Okafor's at 17.1. The next highest guy on the team, or that was on the team, was Tony Allen with 8.3. Anthony Davis is at an 8.2 offensive rebounding percentage. So Okafor, head on shoulders, is offensive rebounding more so than any other player. Over on the season, the Pelicans rank, and I just lost it, 26th in offensive rebounding percentage as a team, 21.1%. But when you look at these past seven games during the winning streak, the Pelicans have jumped to 10th best in the league at 23.5% offensive rebounding percentage. That number's jumping up. It's one of the reasons their offense is working so well, even though the offensive rating is down since DeMarcus Cousins has been out. You're grabbing your own misses a little bit more, and Okafor's a big part of this. Davis is doing some of it too. That's gone up for him, but really it is Okafor. Again, the numbers don't lie, and they kind of bear out what we've seen. He's really good at not just going up and trying to grab the board and bringing it down, but just doing that back tip out to the backcourt for the Pelicans, which kind of works. They've got guys kind of trying to streak back to get set in transition. So you just knock the ball back to them where they're kind of already hopefully going to be, and you can reset the possession. You always hate when a big grabs the ball, gets down, and then tries to put it back up, and there's three guys swarming all over him because they were all going for the rebound too, and then it gets blocked or it's a turnover or a steal, what have you. You don't need to worry about that really with Emeka Okafor because they're tip-ins or he swats them back for Rondo or Holiday to corral. It's been a big part of this winning streak despite playing very few minutes. Before talking attendance and fandom in a segment I could go on and on and on about, don't forget, check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball with host Josh Lloyd, who also hosts the Monday edition of the Locked On NBA podcast. It's playoffs for a lot of people. You got to make that final push. Sometimes the addition of one player on the waiver wire can make a difference and win you your playoff matchup and get you further into the playoffs and winning money. Josh can definitely help out with that. I've used his advice a lot this year. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Basketball. So attendance and fandom has kind of been a big topic these past couple of days, partially because the Pelicans are on this 7-game winning streak, and, you know, Monday's game against the Suns was sparsely attended. The upper bowl wasn't really there. There were a lot of empty seats in the lower bowl as well, and it kind of creates for a disappointing atmosphere given how well this team is right now and that they're actually fighting for, you know, home court advantage in the first round, at least, of the playoffs. So what's going on, and why aren't people more excited about this team, and should they be more excited about this team? And I can tell you, you know, I've talked a lot about this on the radio with T-Bob Hebert the other day, with Matt Moscona, also in Baton Rouge, with Gus Kattengill, and all the different stations I'm on down here. This comes up a lot throughout the season, and it's starting to kind of hit ahead at this point. You know, people always wonder, should you get emotionally invested in the Pelicans? And it's kind of a running joke to me because I've seen how people react to this. We made that cool little scale chart. Meter is probably the word that I tweet out all the time because it's a lot of fun to poke fun of this situation. And, you know, fans of the team are like, well, you should. They're good. You've got Anthony Davis. There's DeMarcus Cousins as well. Get excited. And, you know, I see people saying do better, fans, and get to the arena. It's like, screw that. Look, fandom and everything, it takes time to build up, and the Pelicans and just franchise in general hasn't done that consistently enough to warrant you to just buy in blindly. And one 6-game or 7-game winning streak, as I've been saying, is not enough to get people to kind of forget everything that's happened with this team and to just trust them that this time it's going to be different. It's, you know, there's ways, analogies you can do with it, and I don't want to make one of them here. So that's kind of the situation. Yeah, you know, they might get into the playoffs, but they're also close to being out of the playoffs too. So are you going to go spend your hard-earned money to go to this when they just have a history of letting you down? And I think that's a valid thing. As always, what I always say, it's winning. Just win and win consistently, not just over a short period, but over the long haul. You've got to look at this on a longer timeline. Fans will come. It's as simple as that. This team, a couple years ago when they were in the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors, it was packed for the final month of the regular season. Those two games were a sellout that they lost to the Golden State Warriors, including that 20-point blown lead and everything. The games at the end of the regular season were there too. They were a pact in Chris Paul's final year where the then Hornets took the Lakers to a 6-game series. Final part of the regular season was packed. The playoff games were fun, and that even goes back to the time when they were still the Hornets with, you know, Chris Paul in 06, 07, 08, those years when they were making the playoffs too. It was packed. This team, when it wins, they sell out the arena. The city gets excited. But they do that like once every 4 or 5 years. So it's not enough time to kind of build that consistency to get buy-in from people in the years that they're bad. Even the Saints weren't selling out, and you could get tickets for like $10 before 06 until after before Katrina. They were just kind of a laughing stock. And a lot of fans were diehard fans there all the time, yes. But that stadium was empty at times. I was there. I saw it, and I'm not even from here and haven't seen it into the worst periods of time. Once you start winning, the culture around your team changes. You win 3 years in a row. You make the playoffs 3 straight years. Things change. That's when you build that kind of degree of trust in fans, particularly when they're parting with their hard-earned money. The Pelicans need to do the same thing, and they haven't, and that's why you see people wondering, if okay, is this the time that they're finally going to be good, and now I can get excited, and now should I look at season tickets? I get that question all the time, and I'm not... can't answer for you guys. I get it on the radio. I get it from people asking me, is this the year they're finally going to be good and I should pay attention? Well, you know, I pay attention when they're bad. A lot of people pay attention when they're bad, but a lot of people don't. And this just kind of goes, you win and people pay attention to you. You win consistently. That's when they give you your money. It's kind of as simple as that. We can talk all we want about the in-arena experience being bland and blah and not tying anything to the city, but let's not pretend that people aren't going because they don't want to hear the clap, 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 clap your hands thing. That's not keeping people away from the arena. It's the fact that they're not good and things are expensive and they raise ticket prices and the food sucks in there and you've got to pay for that when you go. Shea Serrano over at The Ringer made a joke a couple months ago, I think, when he was talking about the movies and why movie attendance is kind of down at times. And he goes, look, I have a wife. I got three kids, young kids. When I go to the movies, it costs me $100 to go see frickin' Boss Baby or whatever it was. No one wants to spend their money doing shit like that. You want to do it for something good that's worthwhile, and the Pelicans just haven't shown that. You know, and when the food's terrible in the arena and you've got all these extra costs on top of it, it can also be at times cost prohibitive. You know, I prefer watching NFL games on TV because I don't want to go and spend $40 of parking at the Dome and then like $15 a beer inside when I can do all of this and just have a nicer overall experience on my couch. And it's just easier. You've got to make it worthwhile for people to come. The Pelicans are starting to show that right now. A 7-game winning streak. AD playing like he is playing will definitely start to get the arena packed as the league as a whole and city as a whole is starting to take notice of this team. You keep winning, you will sell out the arena. And of course, if they make the playoffs, those will be sold out no matter what. That's how you build fans. But doing it once every 4 or 5 years isn't going to be good enough for the casual person. They'll come when they're winning. Yeah, you want to make them for life. You got to win probably 3 or 4 seasons in a row, making it to really kind of ingrain those habits. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You're listening right now. You like this. Make sure you get the episodes when they come out. And also tell a friend. Let's spread the Pelicans word. We talked about it in the last segment. There needs to be more kind of general excitement about this team. Even though I think it takes time to build that, let's try and do our part to help that out as well. Get a friend listening to Locked On Pelicans. Get them subscribed so they get them right away. That really does help and keep this podcast free in 5 days a week for you. And this is going to be a lot of fun because the Pelicans are looking like they're going to be making the playoffs. So make sure you have subscribed to the Locked On Pelicans podcast. So the Pelicans take on the Dallas Mavericks in a Sunday game where the Pelicans have already lost once to this team after being on their own 3-game winning streaks, prevented them from getting that 4th win in a row. And we've talked about it. The Pelicans' mindset and attitude is kind of what tends to lose them these games. They get full of themselves. They think these are cakewalks. And then they come out and they struggle or they let the opponent kind of dictate the game and they're not able to do what they want and they lose. And so this is going to be really interesting to see this team's mindset. Are they ready to come out firing, playing, just step on the throats of the Mavs, win, and move on? Or are they kind of still the Pelicans of old? Basically, have they turned a corner? In the last matchup that the Mavericks did win at that point, I think it was their 12th win of the season. You know, they controlled the game. They played at a slower pace than the Pelicans want to play at. Dallas is towards the bottom of the league or in the bottom half when it comes to pace. And they shot a lot of three-pointers and got the Pels out of their rhythm there. Dallas was 22 of 39 from deep, and that's what won them the game. Simple as that. The Pels were 8 of 31, so it was 56.4% versus 25.8%. This Dallas team doesn't score particularly well unless they're just launching it from three and scoring that way. They're 27th in points per game and they're 22nd in offensive rating. They don't shoot twos well. They don't really get inside well. If they launch threes at the third highest rate in the league, they make them in a top half rate as well. You run them off the three-point line and try and funnel them into Anthony Davis, to Nikola Mirotic, to Emeka Okafor down low, you can beat this team. If they get hot from three and you're letting them launch wide open three-pointers, yeah, you're going to run into some trouble and you might get kind of caught and surprised and lose this game and end the winning streak at 7 instead of running it out to 8. Offensively for the Pels, just don't get in a three-point shootout with these guys. Get and work the ball inside. We've seen them doing this better recently. Anthony Davis has been more focused on doing this, I think we've seen as well, and that's made a world of difference. The Mavericks don't really have anybody that can take away the paint. Nerlens Noel is kind of back in playing form, but okay, so what? You're not really worried about someone like Dwight Powell patrolling the paint and taking out Anthony Davis. And Dirk isn't going to really do a good job defending there. They're going to try and hide him because at this point, Davis should be able to absolutely dominate him. You know, the Pels just have the matchups all around in this one, and they should win. It'll remain to be seen what they do, but I think this is kind of a good measuring stick game, not for the opponent that you play, but how are the Pelicans feeling mentally? Are they going to do the things they need to do, or are they just going to kind of revert to old habits? Right now, I actually think they're going to play well in this one. They're going to come out firing. They've had a number of days off. They're rested. They're kind of getting a little bit healthier. Those dings and things like that, that kind of reach out to you and kind of take you down throughout the season. So it'll be interesting to see what this team does. And I think the Pelicans should run this streak out to 8 games. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game Sunday. Let's see if the Pelicans run this streak out to 8 games and then keep it going from there. And if they can go 2-2 on this road trip, so you already got 1 game in hand, I think that's going to be considered a big success for this team. But now they're in position to potentially make it 3-1 or even 4-0. But we'll see what happens. And like I said, I think this is a good measuring stick. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all on Monday.